Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello. Hi, how's it going? Welcome back. This is Everything Else, the podcast hosted by yours truly, Connor Franta, episode number 9. We're getting close to double digits, folks. Here we are. Haven't missed a week yet. She's giving you regularity, scheduled Virgo personality. Yeah, pretty dang good. I am back in Los Angeles after my brief little trip to the wonderful land that is Minnesota, and I am here for you today to give you another advice segment. It's already been like a month since we're starting off with a little bit of jumbled words. Collect yourself, Connor. Composure. We're here. We're in the moment. No need to rush. I've been trying to actually work on not rushing myself through speaking. I feel like sometimes I'm always one step ahead of my, not even one, like 10, see what I just did there? One, not even one, like 10. I'm always thinking too quickly and I'm not allowing myself just to say the thing that I'm trying to say. So here I am. But we're back. This week, I wanted to do another advice segment because I had so much fun with the last one. Everyone seemed to really enjoy it. So why not? Why the heck not do another advice segment? That's what we got. We have a lot of questions. Reddit is full of questions. But before that, I guess I'll just give you a little bit of update on my life, what I've been up to this week, what's been going down. Just ran 11 miles, very tired yet again. That Friday brain. It's October 1st. When the hell did we get into October? I'm very confused. October, I barely know her. Spooky season's upon us. I've just been bombarding myself with fall related activities despite it being 85 degrees in California. Watching all the spooky scary television series, movies. I had my first pumpkin spice latte, and then I immediately followed it up by having another pumpkin spice latte because I'm basic. Don't fucking judge me. They're just so good. Who was the person behind the marketing of pumpkin spice? Like, was it Starbucks? Who revolutionized pumpkin spice as a fall-related thing? I don't remember pumpkin spice being a thing like 10, 15 years ago. At one point in time, someone said, we are going to manipulate the entire population into thinking fall now equals pumpkin spice. Hell, we're just going to make up a spice. We're going to combine all the spices and call it pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice is cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger. What am I missing? Cardamom, maybe? I'm missing something. It's all the spices. Probably all spices in there. Did you know there's a spice called allspice? Insane. So someone, like most things, we are being, our brains, our lives are being run by the government and by corporations. Capitalism! is the reason that we're here. So yeah, I had a pumpkin spice latte. I have a fucking pumpkin smelling candle behind me. I've been wearing sweaters despite me sweating in the sweaters. Don't really like that part of this. It's been a good old time. And then other than that, I am happy to finally talk about it. I talked about it a little bit last week, but I want to talk about it more. My book tour is official, y'all. This has been a labor of love, but a labor of love is still labor. Labor. I barely know her. Okay. Labor of love being meaning that this is the first book tour that is happening for my book publisher. I am the guinea pig. I am the experiment. We are, I should say, because if you're coming to the book tour, we're the first ones. We're number one. He was number one. We're number one. Us. Go us. I'm going on book tour to Los Angeles, California, Houston, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Chicago, Illinois, Orlando, Florida, and New York City, New York. And then I'm doing an exclusive streaming event for everybody else. So even if you can't go in person, go to the streaming event. It's you get a free signed, or not a free, you get a signed book out of it, and then you get the streaming event. For all the other ones, you get a signed book and you get a picture, and we get to see each other in person and like wave and be weird and awkward and maybe not awkward, maybe joy. Maybe it'll be pure joy and pure fun. Who knows? It can be anything that you want. We can do almost anything that you want. I'm going to regret saying that. Scratch that. Take that back. But yeah, that's happening in 3 weeks. So if you want to meet me on tour for the only time that I can think of, this is going to happen. So I highly recommend it. ConnorFrantaBooks.com. Come meet me on tour. Haven't done a tour in years. Who knows if I'll ever do one ever again. This could be the last one. This is my farewell tour. Goodbye. I'm going to go into hiding, into the woods, into the hills, adopt a dog, and start gardening. You never know. You really never know. So that's been that's all that's been happening. I got back and I've just been doing book related things because it comes out in 3 weeks. It's insane. I can't believe this book is coming out in 3 weeks. Who knew? It's absolutely wild. And I'm doing so many things.
Ladies and gentlemen, for tonight's entertainment, I will be playing all the parts. Thank you.
I'm playing all the parts. I have so many hats on. Top of the morning. Okay, but without further ado, let's get right into this. I'm ready to give some advice. Let's move on to the advice segment. What should we start out with? Honestly, let's start out with a super wholesome one. You know, one that is really going to ease you into this experience. Homophobia. Please welcome to the stage, homophobia. This one's coming at us from 7 days ago. My friend believes that homosexuality is a choice and a sin. Great start. Good friend there. What are some arguments and points to argue against this? Well, you're going to be surprised to find out, but I myself am a homosexual. And I myself also think homosexuality is a sin. Kidding! Ha ha! No, those people are batshit crazy. Not crazy. They're just misguided. I'll take that back. I'll reel that back in. It is so sad that a subset of society has been educated by homophobic people to believe that being queer is a sin, that being queer is bad, that being queer will send you to hell. Okay. It's pretty intense. Calm down. It's just a man kissing a man, a woman kissing a woman, a non-gender conforming person kissing a non-gender conforming person. Like, get over it. It's not that big of a deal. Honestly, for scenarios like this, I just ask the person tons of questions. Because most of the time for things like this, people don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. They're like a parrot. They're repeating what they've been told. and they don't actually know what they're saying, or they've never been challenged with what they're saying. Something about, I guess it's pretty obvious, but something about being conservative means, oh, wow, you conserve. No, but you don't really work through the nuance of modern times, and you don't have those discussions. So the whatever you believe just stays because no one ever questions it. It's, frankly, a lot of people say it's a sin to question it or to change your opinion or to have a nuanced take on something. They're like, no, we like traditionalism. So honestly, just like confront the person with questions. Be like, why do you think that? Why is it bad? Where does it say that in the Bible? Because most of the time it comes, if you're saying sin, it's a religious argument. So be like, where does it say that in the Bible? Why do you feel that way? What's so bad about it? And then just go from there, have a conversation about it. Never approach someone that you're trying to change their mind by attacking them. Never make them feel dumb. Never make them feel, not necessarily don't make them feel wrong, but don't like make them feel bad for being wrong. So really approach it with an educational perspective of like, listen, I'm gay. Are you afraid of me? Like, what's so bad about that? And then move on from there. But yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one to change anyone's mindset on things like that, because they've been told their entire lives that if they don't believe that, they themselves are going to hell. So it's a tough one, but just really approach it with caution and care. Yeah. And then if they keep coming back at you, then just honestly, it's not worth your time. Ditch them and leave. 0 to 100. How do you accept that not everyone likes you and not everyone will like you? Everyone wants to be liked. Everyone wants everyone to like them. Everyone ideally wants to feel like they are a good person and they are worth being liked. But the truth of it is you just aren't going to get along with some people. For reasons you may never know, you just don't mesh with everyone. I've met tons of people that I'm like, you're a good person. On paper, I probably should like you, but there's just something. There's just something not right here. And if we want to qualify that as I don't like you, sure. I just think this isn't right. So the fact of the matter is just it happens to all of us. There's no way everyone can like you. And although it feels very personal, I think it's just a thing that happens in life, and to not take it so personally. If you're bold enough, I mean, you could ask the person, like, I feel like we don't get along. Why do we think that is? But that is a very vulnerable position to put yourself in, because you are now offering up criticism, warranted criticism or unwarranted criticism, and you may not like what they have to say, or what they say may not be true. So I don't know if that's worth it, but just know you're not going to like everyone. There are plenty of people that don't like me. I don't like plenty of people. And it's just, again, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's just a way of life. I was accused of cheating, and now I don't want to be intimate. Oof, this is going to be heavy. Okay, hello. So my fiance and I have been together for 8 years. And as far as I know, neither of us have ever cheated or even thought about doing so. We are very close and have sex often and are each other's best friends. Oh, I mean, that's the goal. That's sweet. But let's see the twist here. Over the weekend, I was accused of cheating. And after we talked and she realized she had made a mistake accusing me of doing so, we spent the day together and she felt really bad about everything. Although it really hurt my feelings, I forgave her and decided it was just a big misunderstanding and miscommunication. But I haven't wanted to be intimate, cuddle, have sex, or anything since it happened. I need some advice. How do I get over this? I just feel very offended and hurt and don't want to be close to her right now. I mean, that's valid. Like, relationships, platonic or romantic, are built on trust. Trusting one another, and to think that someone that you said is your best friend essentially didn't trust you in a moment, like, that's hurtful. That's harmful. When you're accusing someone of something as severe as cheating, you know, you better be pretty damn sure that they actually are, because again, that is a really heavy thing to be accused of or to accuse someone of. So, I mean, I validate that you don't want to be close to them for reasons that you can't quite explain yet, because you feel you're hurt, you're harmed by it. But that's also something that you can totally work through and overcome. I would, if you still sound like you want to be in the relationship, it sounds like it's a healthy relationship. Otherwise, 8 years, best friends, still intimate, all of that. You know, you got to talk it through, like really talk to her about your feelings and how much that hurt, and reassure her that, you know, that's not something you would ever do. Because again, it sounds like neither of you have done this before. So if it's not something you're planning on doing, or it's not something that you ever thought you would do, then like reassure her, because either something went wrong in the communication between you two, or she has some sort of insecurity thinking that you are going to cheat on her. So there's something going on there. Something's going on that she accused you. And then now the fact that you're feeling this way, it needs to be communicated about. So yeah, just talk to her. Just talk to her, person. I guess I don't know if you're a dude or a woman. I was going to say, just talk to her, dude. Broski. Just talk to her. Okay. Let's just add a sound bite to.
Just la, 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 la. Shh. Living my life.
Okay, ease the tension. Yeah, just talk to her. Communicate. Seems like it was a miscommunication in the first place, so you're going to need to communicate about this. But again, I validate the fact that that is hurtful. If someone accused me of cheating and I didn't, I would be a wreck about it. Because I would just feel so hurt that they thought I was capable of that, that they thought that was happening. Again, like the whole trust barrier would be down. So you need to build it back up and see where that whole problem started, because it definitely started before this one moment. So there's something to be communicated about there. And then hopefully you guys can be stronger than ever. It's kind of like a wound, isn't it? A scar is stronger than the actual skin before the scar. So the scar tissue is stronger than the skin. So, you know, if you can get over this and you can communicate better, and you know, hopefully this will never happen again, you know, you're just going to be a stronger couple. You're going to be most likely more in love and more connected than you ever have before. So I hope that happens for you. We're coming in hot here, folks. We got another LGBT one. More LGBTs. We're just going to flood this with LGBTs.
Gay rights.
Gay rights.
Gay rights.
Gay rights.
Because we love our LGBTs. I'll have one LGBT, please. My brother is still upset that I said my niece might have a girlfriend in the future. They said I need to respect their parenting. I need advice on whether or not to push. So long story short, during a dinner, someone said something about my niece, she's 3, finding a boyfriend. And I said, or a girlfriend. And my brother and sister-in-law were not happy. They scoffed and said, we aren't doing that. I pushed it a little at the time, but ultimately just switched subjects. Okay, that's honestly all I think all we need from this one. This is one of those things where I get what you're trying to do, and I do this all the time. I correct people all the time when they're misgendering things or they're applying a gender stereotype to things. I absolutely loathe that society paints little kids to be like, they always put little baby boys in like future woman killer girls and like, I don't even know, what do they even put on them? Like, it's all baby clothes. Baby clothes are like advertisements, and they make them sound like babies have this like future of like future handsome man, beautiful little girl. Like, it's just weird. I find it weird that we do that, that we even like put that on a child in general, whether or not it's about, you know, their sexual future, I guess their sexual orientation or what have it. But it's just weird that we put any of that onto kids. It's weird that we give boys only blue things, girls only pink things. Like, it's just all very strange to me. I am very much that type of uncle that automatically says, I'm going to get you a yellow or a green thing, something in between. I am not going to participate in these strange societal norms. I refuse. But I also know that there's like a boundary that I just don't need to cross there, where again, it's not my kid, you know, like this is your niece, it's not your child. So to a certain extent, backing off really is the right thing to do. You have good intentions, I get that, but you know, just like really ease into it. In a perfect world, they will understand that, and maybe eventually they will, but it's a tough one. It's a really tough one because you do want to be sensitive to the parents and you don't want them to like shut you out in any way. So I appreciate you for doing that. And if you're comfortable, yeah, keep doing it. But I get it. It's a tough one. It's a really tough one. Hopefully eventually, you know, it'll just soak into parents like that, or hopefully it'll soak in. Maybe bring it up. Maybe relate it not to your niece and maybe relate it to society. Like start bringing up LGBT topics about everything besides your niece, and maybe that'll ease them into queer culture a little bit, and then they'll start applying it to their children and to their parenting. Because maybe it going directly at their child feels very personal and feels like an attack on their parenting. So maybe go from an outside perspective and make it less about the niece. Because again, like it's just a little kid. The little kid isn't going to absorb too much of that just yet. So maybe try to affect the parents away from the child, if that makes sense. It's a tough one, though. We need more gay rights.
Gay rights.
Gay rights.
Gay rights.
Gay rights.
Let's go to an easier one, a lighter one. Just a little bit more chill. Talking to yourself. Something I'm doing technically right now. You're listening. But, these walls are thick, and my flowers and my lamps hear many conversations. Okay, what's considered normal when it comes to talking to yourself? I realize I have conversations with myself in the form of a two-person dialogue. Same, relatable. I literally envision that I'm talking to someone almost like an interview. It helps me get through ideas and feelings that I'm struggling with often, and I've done it for the most of my life. I don't feel as if I have another person in my head or a personality. What can I do? What should I do about this? This is normal. As far as, I mean, like, let me know in the comments below, but I talk to myself all the time. I think it's just like a natural way of like you said, working through arguments, dilemmas. Honestly, sometimes I'm just bored, and if like a podcast is playing, I'll play out an argument in my head, and then because it's much easier to work through it if I'm actually saying it versus thinking it. So sometimes I'll kind of do this weird, yeah, it sounds very funny now that I'm saying it out loud, but I do it all the time. You know, I guess it's no different from like singing out loud. What's the difference? Talking out loud, singing out loud. I think everyone does it. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I wouldn't feel bad about this. I think it's a very normal thing. I would say if you were like replacing your human connections with an individual connection, like you thought you didn't need to have these types of conversations with other people, maybe you would want a little bit of, you would want to talk to someone about that, because that isn't normal. You shouldn't replace connections with friends and family members and coworkers and what have you with just yourself, only yourself. You can only take so much of yourself. Take it from me. But yeah, you're totally normal here. It's okay. We all talk to yourself. Again, my walls have heard many an argument. Like I'll pause Netflix shows and I'll be working through being like, okay, so character A and character B, their connection there. So does that mean character C? Because sometimes you just need to, you need something physical. I need like to envision it in front of me and play it out. Almost like what I imagine it's like to create strategy for a sporting event. Am I football?
Hello.
Hope that helps. She expected me to pay. The audacity. I am working at a bookstore. Yesterday after work, a coworker asked me to go out for drinks, and I said, sure. Me and her went out. We had drinks. She started ordering quite a bit, and expensive ones like cocktails, and the bill came to $70. She asked me if I could pay for everything. I said, no way. Good on you. I'm paying my part, which was 30. She then got surprised and said, wow, a true gentleman would pay for the bill. Then she told my coworkers that I'm a pig. I always split it evenly on dates, etc. Well, first of all, I mean, maybe I need some clarification here, but was this even a date? Like, if this was a date, then maybe I just don't understand heterosexual couples and this whole, I really don't get the idea. I don't think anybody should go into a date or any dinner scenario and expect someone else to pay for them. I think the expectation should always be it's going to be 50-50. And if someone does offer to pay, then you're grateful. And that's really nice of that person. But it's weird to me that anybody in modern times expects another person to pay for them, expects it. Point blank says there is no other choice. They better pay for me. I find that weird. You know, maybe again, let me know in the comments down below what you think in that case, but I just think it's weird. I never go into it in that way. Could be a gay thing, could be a male thing, I don't know. But regardless, it doesn't sound like this was a date necessarily. She said, drinks. I said, sure. Me and her went out and we had drinks. Either way, I still don't get it. And then also the fact that she was ordering tons of expensive drinks, it is a pet peeve of mine when you're splitting the bill with people and someone is almost taking advantage of that in a way. Or in this case, if she was expecting you to pay and she was taking advantage of you by ordering expensive things, knowing that you were going to pay, I loathe that. I hate when I go out to dinner with friends and I just say, you know what, I'm not that hungry. I might get like a side of French fries and a beer. That's like $12. Okay, I'll just pay my $12. And then everyone else gets the steak and three drinks and an appetizer. And then I have to pay the same amount as everyone. I'm too nervous to ever bring it up. And I would never call people out for it. So I just pay it. So that's my fault. But it's fucking annoying. It's really fucking annoying. If you're those people, point it out so that I don't have to feel weird being the one to point it out. Yeah, I think it's weird. I think she sounds not nice, not a lovely woman. That's not a lovely woman right there. The fact that she was going around also telling other people this is just gross. Overall, I just think people should stop assuming anything about anything, really. She's not a nice lady. Just move on from it. I'm losing my mind. My girlfriend is having an affair with my best friend, and I said, I'll forgive her. Should I? Ooh, spicy. This one's quite spicy. Me and my girlfriend have been together for 5 years now, and I've been friends with my best friend for a long time as well, since we were back in school. Yesterday, I walked in on them having sex in our bed. Oh shit, it's like a movie. That's horrible. I beat him up badly. Oh, okay. Okay. Your feelings are valid. Which I know is wrong. Okay, there we go. But Connor, stop it. Just read the fucking prompt. Which I know is wrong, but I couldn't stop. I was livid. That's the end of that friendship. I feel like such an idiot. She said it has been going on for a year. The whole time I thought me and her were in a good place. She told me everything. Apparently it started last year after we had an argument and she went to his place. She says he exploited her while she was vulnerable. I asked why she was doing it and she admitted because it was exciting. Apparently me and her had lost the spark. Okay, I've heard enough. This is another one where I am done listening.
Oh, you want to get fucked up?
I hate when people don't take responsibility for their own actions. I'm assuming you're both adults. You didn't put your age in here, but I'll just assume you've been dating for 5 years. You're both adults. Your choices are your choices. Take accountability for what you have done. If you have been cheating on your partner,
multiple times for a year, that's on you. It's not on the person that you were cheating on your partner with. It's on both of you. Jesus Christ, that's so gross. And she's making herself feel like a victim so that you forgive her and not the friend as well, which again is so manipulative of you. Just like, if she took ownership of it, maybe there would be something you could work on there. Like, if she was genuinely so sorry for it and all of that. But it sounds like she's just blaming it on someone else. And also blaming it on the fact that you guys had lost the spark then. Here's a wild perspective. If you have lost the spark in a relationship, maybe you should end the relationship.
She's got a point.
Maybe. Fix it or end it. Why are you wasting each other's time? Cheating on someone because it's exciting? Disgusting. Disturbing? Disgusting. That is a real person that you're hurting. That is real pain that you're causing. That is also traumatic for years. That it will be traumatic for that person for years. They're going to have trust issues after that. Disgusting. Disturbing. Disgusting. Don't like it. Hate it. So, should I forgive her? I think the really hard answer here is no. Do not forgive her. Or forgive her, but then don't date her anymore. For your best friend, same thing. I do not know how you could do that to a friend of yours, a best friend of yours, anyone that you know. That's horrible. Especially for a year. Again, if it happened like once, maybe, but not a year. Oh my God, that's painful. Let's play a soundbite.
Oh, you wanna get fucked up?
Break up with your girlfriend. Yeah, cause she's a whore. You fought your best friend. Yeah, cause he's also a whore. Hypothetically, let's say, if someone ordered one item from Amazon and received two, how unethical is it to keep both items from Amazon? Oh, God, the things that we go through. This has happened to me. I've definitely had this happen before, and I get why you're thinking this. A lot of people, I could see, I imagine a lot of the comments are below it, like, fuck Amazon. It's a big corporation. Fuck them. Keep the item. And you know what? I'm not gonna tell you can't do that. The only thing I would say is, Amazon is usually a host for other companies, so you're not really screwing Amazon over. You're potentially screwing another business, and honestly, it might be a small business because a lot of small businesses are on Amazon at this point. So, you know, the ethical thing is to return the item. Will they ever know? Probably not. It's like the biggest company in the world. One of them. They're probably never gonna know. There's a lot of worse things you could be doing than keeping an extra item. But I would feel bad, especially again, if it was someone else's small business on Amazon and you were stealing. You're kind of stealing, I guess. You were taking an extra item from them. So personally, when I've gotten the extra item, I do return it because it's pretty easy to return it as well. Here, it's actually crazy. Amazon makes it way too easy. You can return it to a Whole Foods or a UPS store for free. Anytime for like a month. It's crazy easy. So I've just brought it to the Whole Foods and be like, hey, bring this back. Okay, bye. Done. Easy. Don't have to do anything. They don't even ask you to put it in a box. You can literally bring the item to Whole Foods, drop it, and then go pick up some produce. It's kind of a hard flex, I'm not gonna lie. It's really like Bezos may be evil, but he's an evil genius. Let's do one more gay one to wrap it on up. How do I explain why I hate being the butt of every gay joke? And I will say, you putting butt of and gay joke in the same sentence.
Something LGBT just happened to me just now. Like, I can't even make this shit up.
It was pretty fucking funny, I'm not gonna lie. So to preface this, I'm a bi 21-year-old, and more times than not, I hide my sexuality because I'm afraid of being the butt of a gay joke people make around me. A lot of my friends are very supportive of my sexuality, but it also comes with hearing the same joke that basically boils down to, ha ha ha, you're gay. I didn't mind it at first, but it gets tiring after the first 50 times. I'm just unsure of what to say to get my point across. Honestly, again, and I'm sure you've done this, but if you haven't, just tell them. A lot of the times people put up with being the brunt of a joke, we'll say, or there's almost always in every friend group, there's one person that kind of gets ragged on more than the rest. And sometimes you're almost doing it without realizing how much that probably hurts the other person. It's almost like a habit where it's like, oh yeah, they're just the one that we all tease. That's the one friend that we all tease the most. And you forget that if you're teasing them a lot and everyone else is, it's probably really hard. So I may be giving these people too much credit, but maybe they just don't realize how much that hurts. So you might just need to tell them, like, hey, can you please stop doing that? It really hurts my feelings. I don't like it. It's not okay, et cetera, et cetera. And if they're not receptive towards it, fuck them. Fuck them. That's horrible. They're not your friends then. If you tell your friends they're doing something that's harmful to you and they keep doing it, that's not a good friend. So I think that's the best thing you can do. I think that's definitely the best thing you can do. I will say, being in a friend group of a lot of queer people and a lot of people who make self-deprecating jokes, it can be pretty fun. So, you know, if you find a way to accept it, or if you find a way to punch back, like if they say, ha ha ha, you're gay, and you have a rebuttal, or they say, ha ha ha, you're gay, and you say something like, ha ha ha, you're straight, like you kind of bite back at them, that can be fun. That's what I like to do when my friends tease me. I tease them back. Then it just becomes like a playful back and forth, knowing that no one actually means to harm each other. But I can see why if they're always joking on you and you're not getting to joke back, then it can be really harmful and hurtful. So definitely tell them. Tell them, make sure they're aware. And if they're not, again, they're not your friends. They're not your real friends. Your real friends would listen to your feelings and not harm you on purpose. Okay, that about sums up our little advice segment. A little bit turbulent there. We were all over the place, from Amazon packages to cheating on your partner with your best friend. Jesus, that's it's a little bit heavy. It's a little bit much for a Friday afternoon. But I hope you enjoyed it. Now we are to everyone's favorite section of the podcast. Everything else. This is where I tell you everything else you need to know. Everything else. My favorite songs, movies, recommendations of the week for you. I'm going to start off by saying again, thank you to everyone who's rating it 5 stars, clicking the like button every single video, leaving a comment, engaging with the community. I appreciate it. I feel like we're getting more comments every single podcast. We're getting more views every single podcast, and I appreciate it. It's all because of your dedication to sharing the podcast, liking the podcast, everything. Y'all are fucking great. I love you. Thank you. My song of the week, I'll just say my artist of the week, because I've really, really been enjoying her. I just think she's incredible. She's stunning, amazing voice, a phenomenal performer. Rosalía, big fan. Her newer song, she has many songs I like, but her newer one, Linda, is great. I just find that she just has such amazing vocals, and she has such a presence, a commanding emotional presence. When I've seen her perform, I guess in videos, I've never seen her perform in person, but she's just so commanding. I can't ever take my eyes off of her. The next thing I want to recommend is Midnight Mass. It's the new Mike Flanagan series on Netflix. It is phenomenal. Your boy binged all of it. It's about a cult-like community on an island, but it's a horror. So there's religious horror on an island. That's about it. That's all I really want to tell you. It's spooky. The practical effects and the CGI is amazing. It's a really well told story. It's scary. It's unsettling. It's a good watch. Highly recommended. Phenomenal. And last but not least, let's do some praise for our commenters. Let's do a little bit of love to everyone who has been showing up for everything else. Okay, first here, our last comment on the YouTube video that I really liked was, Connor not sitting on the sofa is giving me gays can't sit on chairs vibes. It's so true. I sit on the floor. I lay on the floor. I would rather stand than be sitting here right now. I'm not gonna lie. Hate it so much. When I take phone calls, I just walk around the neighborhood. I loathe it. Anything meant for me to sit on normally, done. Don't want it. I'm over it. And then my favorite podcast comment rating on Apple was from Karen. Oh, from Karen Lee. Give this man a private jet. I'll take it. Make it camp aesthetic. Make it run off a milk engine, ma'am. Phil of the future. Connor of the podcast. So the drama. Call him, beep him if you want to hear him. You lost me there. Karen, I think you might have a concussion. Make it run off a milk engine. So the drama. Okay. Work, Karen. We love to see it, Karen.
Slay! Slay!
Oh, what a wonderful time. Yeah, that's really all I got. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everything. I hope you have pre-ordered my book on ConnorFrantaBooks.com. Tons of signed options. I signed them over for India, Australia, the UK, all on ConnorFrantaBooks.com. Show up to the tour. I'm excited to see you all in person across the United States. Definitely go reserve your tickets. ConnorFrantaBooks.com yet again. Drink a chilled glass of cold water. Get a good night's rest. Go for a walk, hug a puppy, smell a flower. Who knows what could happen? And I will see you and you will hear me in the next one. Bye.